The Planter's Place podcast is brought to you by Osmocote, the planter's plant food.
My name is Amy Grisak. I'm a garden writer in Great Falls, Montana, and today I want to talk to you about creating a wildlife-friendly garden. Now, I'm not talking about encouraging Bambi to come in and sample your latest vegetables or your flowers. I want to talk to you about how to create a space that's ideal for the bees and the butterflies and the birds to be able to enjoy your area and also benefit you in the garden. So one of the first things we want to think about when we're creating a wildlife-friendly garden is what we're planting. One thing we want to really stay away from is a monoculture, where you're just planting one crop in one area. It's best, and I know it's kind of difficult because it's a traditional way to do it, but it's best to mix it up. You want to get the vegetables in, but you want to plant the flowers along with it. For example, in my garden, I have bachelor buttons all over the place. The bees absolutely love them, and so many of the insects love them. So I'll have tomatoes growing, and I'll have bachelor buttons springing up right alongside of them. It's nice because the bees are in, they hit the bachelor buttons, and eventually they'll also reach the tomatoes, too. Same with sunflowers. There is virtually a sunflower forest in the garden this year, and they are loaded with bees, particularly the native bumblebees, which are fantastic when it comes to pollinating peppers and tomatoes and other vegetables. They're hard workers, so you definitely want the native bumblebees in there. So you want that polyculture. You want to mix the vegetables and the flowers. You also want to make sure there's flowers that have good nectar sources for the butterflies. So you want like the echinacea and the bee balm and things like that, where the butterflies can land and really get a good drink. Plus, you also want to plant plants that are good for the beneficial insects. So things like dill and cilantro that have those umbrella-type flowers, those big, wide flowers, a lot of the beneficial insects really like to use those. So make sure you have some of those. You want lots of variety, lots of color. You don't need one specific color in your garden to attract, say, butterflies or hummingbirds. Really choose a variety, and you're going to be really, really happy. So while we're thinking about food, too, we want to think about, down the road, food for the birds. So you want to provide seed-bearing flowers in there as well. Echinacea, once again, that has seeds in it. Another are the sunflowers. Those are great in the fall. Even when the summer is gone and everything is spent, I leave the sunflowers up because there's nothing like watching the birds go in, hang upside down. They're pulling the sunflowers out. And even those birds that hang around in the winter, it's a good food source and a more natural food source for them. The other thing we want to think about when we're doing a garden with the wildlife in mind is to have water for them. Very, very important. I don't know how many of you notice that when you turn on the sprinkler, a lot of times all those robins are right there. They're in the water, they're getting washed, and they have to have it. It's also good to provide either a bird bath that you clean out frequently. You don't want to get all gross and funky, so you want to clean out your bird bath quite a bit, or even setting out little pans of water. The birds will use it. The bees will use it, surprisingly. If you go out in the morning and you have a shallow pan of water, and for bees you want something really, really shallow, they will be all along the edge of it drinking. And some of the not-so-smart ones will be in the middle drowning. But the bees need the water too, and all the insects need the water. And during colder months of the year, there's some people who do keep it going throughout the year and put a little heater in the bird bath, and also having it recirculate too to keep the water fresh. That's really helpful. And it also, I think, that sound brings those birds in. Shelter is another important aspect that a lot of us don't think about. Many gardeners are very concerned about keeping that garden nice and neat and clean. And it's hard to have kind of neglected areas, but it's important to have. So have those bushes that aren't perfectly trimmed, especially if they're near any feeding areas for the birds, because you want an area where the birds can go to in case there's a predator nearby. So have those shrubs nearby that aren't perfect. Have a debris pile. Very, very important. Doesn't have to be in the middle of your garden, but somewhere on your property. If you have a small pile that has those twigs and brush, and like I have one that has sunflower stalks because I can't bury them fast enough and I haven't been able to burn them, I have a great pile back there, and the birds are back there frequently. Good places for them to hide. It's also good places for other creatures to hide, like salamanders, and sometimes in other parts of the country, frogs and toads are back there, and garter snakes. Around here, I'm a little concerned about encouraging the snakes because we tend to have rattlesnakes, but in most areas of the country, having those debris piles are really good for the snakes to go, and snakes are really helpful in the garden. Same with little clumps of rocks. It doesn't have to be a huge mountain of stone or anything, but little clumps of rocks provide these nooks and crannies where the native bumblebees go, and all the other native insects often go, and that's where they'll spend the winter. So it's really good to provide these nooks and crannies for the wildlife. And then over the years, you're going to see more and more. We've been doing it more around our home, and this year I saw more swallowtail butterflies than I've ever seen in my life. And so we're just going to keep doing this and planting more flowers, a greater variety of flowers, because we really want them to produce from spring all the way to fall. We want that food source throughout the year. We're also planting shrubs that not only provide protection and shelter for the birds, but also provide a food source. I planted golden currants, which are fantastic. Fantastic yellow blossoms in the spring that smell heavenly, and the insects are all over them, as well as really good fruit in the late summer. Same Nanking cherries, that's another good one. Smell great in the spring and produce really good fruit, which we like too, but we're happy to share with the birds. So by a few little tweaks in your gardens, you can really increase the population of those birds and those bees and those beneficial insects and really create a fun place to be.
To learn more from our gardening experts, join the community at plantersplace.com. And be sure to like Osmocote Plant Food on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in to the Planters Place podcast.